Hey, welcome to The Revolutionized Mind, a platform about all things mental health. I'm your host, Angelica Galluzzo, and on this show, we use real stories and eye-opening conversations to make you feel less alone and a little more optimistic about what's ahead of you. Come on a journey with me. Bring your most authentic self and let's revolutionize the mind. Reforming society, repairing your mentality, restoring your life. This is The Revolutionized Mind. Hi everybody, happy Friday and happy Easter weekend if you celebrate. I am now back from vacation, unfortunately. I had the best time ever. If you saw on my Instagram story, I posted all about the monkeys that were on our resort. That was definitely the highlight of my trip. And it was just really nice to take a week off from everything and just really relax, because I think I definitely needed it. But I'm happy to be back. I'm happy to be continuing to grow the revolutionized mind and put out more content and episodes and connecting with people. So I hope you're also excited. But yeah, other than that, today's episode is all about trauma and trauma recovery. Today's guest is a certified trauma recovery coach who also has experience herself with trauma. So she uses her own experiences and talks about them in this episode as well to help others, to educate others, and to identify herself as an ally within the trauma field. And I've been talking a lot about the book I just read, which was called The Body Keeps the Score. And since reading that, I've really just learned a lot more about how trauma impacts the mind, the body, the soul, and just how the field of trauma is really growing and how much we don't know. And the biggest misconception that I know I've heard, and I'm sure you have as well, is that PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, is something that only war veterans or people who've experienced extreme disasters actually go through, which is not true at all. And within that PTSD or within trauma diagnoses, there are a lot of subcategories that actually aren't even identified in the DSM, and that trauma professionals are trying, as I read in the book, to really make it known that there are so many other things that we need to identify in order to get the right treatments, in order to get the right services. So hopefully episodes like this today, and with April sharing her story and becoming a coach herself, she can really help to continue progressing the field in that way. So trigger warning, sexual harassment and assault are talked about in this episode. So just a heads up on that. Other than that, thank you so much for listening to another episode of TRM, and I hope you enjoy. So today I'm here with April Haggart, who is a multiple trauma survivor and a qualifying trauma recovery coach, and she's currently starting her own community to help other people. And today we're going to talk a little bit more about her story and some of the things that she's gone through. So to start off, how are you doing today?
Well, first, thanks for having me. I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good. I'm happy that the sun's shining. It's getting a little bit warmer.
It is. The birds are chirping outside. I have a window open, so the cats are so happy.
The smell of spring is amazing. It's such a refreshing feeling.
It is.
So do you want to tell us a little bit more about who you are to start off?
Yeah, for sure. So I'm actually officially certified.
Okay, awesome.
Yeah, I just got certified on International Women's Day of all days. So I am a fur mom to two crazy cats. They each have their personalities. I am a huge kid at heart. I'm in a long distance relationship with my fiance. I have an entrepreneur type of mind, so my ideas never shut off. I have a recreation background and an events background, so you can imagine my brain when I go to sleep. It just never wants to turn off for me. And I actually own my own business too, blossoming from within. So it's really great.
Amazing. What are your go-to recreation activities? I'm always interested in finding out new ways to have fun.
Aside from cat cuddles, I started exploring wood burning and watercolor last year. So really enjoy that. And also working out and hiking are my go-tos.
Love that. So I guess as much as you're comfortable with today, do you want to tell us a little bit more about your own mental health journey and some of the traumatic things that you've dealt with in your story?
Yeah, sure. So I actually like to start back to my first diagnosis, which was in 2012. I was diagnosed with depression when I was away at university. And that was a journey in itself. And then in 2016, after an unexpected breakup, I was diagnosed with anxiety. And I didn't know at those times my depression, anxiety were root causes of something a lot deeper. In 29, I was actually assaulted in a mall. It was what triggered everything. It was the starting point. It actually happened when my fiance was with me as well. So at least I had someone to lean into when that happened. And it wasn't until like 2 days, our very first lockdown here in Ontario, I was actually diagnosed with PTSD. And then months later, I was also diagnosed in therapy with complex PTSD. So over the years, so I don't remember much from my childhood, but I knew through elementary all the way up to my first year of college, I was bullied. I've gone through mental and verbal abuse. I've gone through the assault. I've gone through sexual harassment. And there's like so many other types. I also go through medical trauma. So it's a newer term that is getting out there. And it's for those who have, I was doing some research the other day, but those with chronic illnesses. So I have endometriosis. So my body is constantly beating me up. And it's pretty traumatizing with all the pain, not knowing like my appendix going to explode. This happened for people who have traumatic births or different traumatic experiences in the hospitals or doctor's offices. So that's like another thing I've been, I guess, dealing with and healing from. It hasn't been an easy journey, but I've learned a lot from myself in these like last 2 years and see myself grow so much in this healing process.
Really sorry that you've gone through that. Obviously, I think trauma is something that like more research is coming out about, because especially those childhood experiences, like we're really learning more about how it impacts the body and how it really influences just the way that we perceive ourselves in the world. So it is such a complex thing because so many things kind of manifest itself. Like sometimes they do show up in physical illnesses. Sometimes it's just like crazy anxiety, and everywhere you go you experience triggers and you don't know if you can trust people. And it is a really shitty thing to go through because you never know like when it's going to come up for you and how it's going to kind of like present itself to other people.
Exactly. And there's also the intergenerational trauma. That's like a newer term people are getting used to. It's the trauma passed down from like our grandparents, our parents, and it's being passed on to us because they never really dealt with it or knew how to deal with it. So now we're taking on that pain, that trauma from them. And they even say, and I'm part of the International Association of Trauma Recovery Coaches, and one of the coaches posted that when your mom is in the womb of her mom, so your grandmother, your embryo or something is already created or something like that. It's already a creation of you in her. So your trauma will start then from intergenerational trauma. So it's quite interesting how like biology in that sense and learning, okay, it actually starts from the point before I'm even conceived that these traumas are being passed down to me.
Yeah, that's a really interesting thing. And the intergenerational piece is fascinating because I think our parents, our grandparents went through so much. And I think most of their issues were like rooted in physical survival. You had the war, you had some famine, they were going through more of that physical stuff, where our generation were dealing with more like the mental and emotional aspects. So I think like a lot of that is affecting us, and it's just the way that we were raised too. And it's not our parents or our grandparents' fault, because that's all they knew. And it just kind of like showed up in the way that they treated us, they talked to us, and then now we showed up here in this world and we're like, oh, crap, what do I do now? Like, how am I actually supposed to behave? How do I deal with these mental and emotional disturbances? Because it's not always like trauma. I think that term is also kind of tossed around a little bit too much these days. But just like learning how to be like your best self while using like what you know from your past, but also what you want to know in your future. So like, how can we better the next generation, I guess?
Exactly. And it's like a lot of times, like, the older generations were told not to talk about it, to stay quiet. And it's still around to this day of, like, certain communities. It's still, like, we don't really talk about it. Or we'll talk about it, but we're going to ignore it, sort of thing. And it's really sad. And it's like, no, it needs to be talked about. It needs to be speaked about. Like, my parents, like, I'll open up to them about something, like, how I was feeling back when I was grade 9 or anything. And they're like, well, why didn't you talk to us back then? I'm like, because mental health wasn't really talked about. Like, that was in 2006. Like, the way mental health was then to where it is now is changed so drastically that now I'm like, okay, like, I want my future kids to be able to talk about their mental health. I want them to tell me when they're feeling certain emotions or feeling, like, the anxiety, the depression or anything. It's not like my parents silenced or anything, but it's just more of the conversations getting easier around the topic.
Yeah, it wasn't talked about, but also, like, when it was talked about, if you just mentioned something that you were going through, it was totally just brushed under the rug, and it was, oh, everybody deals with that, or other people have it worse than you, like, there's bigger things to worry about than, like, this anxiety you're feeling because we need to go to work, we need to go to school, we need to create a better life, and all these things. So I think just, like, the language around what people are going through as well is improving. Definitely still a long way to go, but it's nice that we can now, like, open up and have conversations like this for sure.
Oh, exactly. Like, it has come a long way, but there's still that stigma that still needs to work on. So, like, this year's Belle Let's Talk, I'm like, can we just change the conversation? Like, it's great you're talking stories, but now it's like, instead of saying, like, you'll get over it, or, you know, let's just go outside, it's like, no, I need this day to myself. No, I need to know it's okay to not be okay. And sometimes, like, my fiance will tell me, he's like, there's days I don't know what to say. So I'll have to, like, try and coach him and be like, okay, like, these things are okay, or please don't say this. Or I'll send him posts of pictures and everything of, like, you know, advice and everything. So it's still a learning curve. We also grew up in different generations, him and I. So there's that still we're trying to work around. But, like, the appreciation around, like, please just change the way you approach people in it and just be more gentle in how you talk to them actually goes a long way.
Yeah, it's a full journey too, because even, like, if you want to be responded to one way, like, on one day, it might look completely different on another day based on how you're feeling. So it's constantly, like you said, like, coaching the people closest to you, letting them know what makes you feel good, what might bring up unwanted feelings for you. And just, like, I think sharing those resources online, I know you've been doing a lot more of that too, and making sure people know what is the right thing to say and what isn't. And then just, like, acknowledging when you might have made a mistake and saying, like, okay, I know this was not the right thing. What can I do better next time? And, like, having those open conversations in more of, like, a productive way rather than just saying, like, yeah, yeah, okay.
Exactly. And it's also, like, the hard part is a lot of people are like, well, why are you feeling this way? Why? And it's like,
I don't know.
Exactly. Like, I don't know what triggered you. I don't know. I don't know why I got nightmares again. I don't know why I'm triggered. Sometimes I do know why I'm triggered or feeling low or anxious, but other times it's like, I don't know. And now here's Chloe trying to comfort me.
At least she knows. That's cute.
She does. She's been with me since 2015. I'm like, how old is she now? Yeah, so she's been through a lot of it with me. And that's the other thing. Pets, no. So yeah. Listen to your pets.
Yeah, so obviously, like, recovery is never easy. There's going to be ups and downs. So what kinds of, like, therapy or inner healing have you done yourself? And I guess, like, what has been the most difficult part of that whole therapy or inner healing journey for you?
Yeah, for sure. So how I went about this part of my healing journey is completely different to how I did it in 2012. 2012, it was just like, go try therapy, go try this. I was on medication. I didn't want to be, but I had to be. I had supports from my university and everything, but when I got told to go do cognitive behavioral therapy, I went to go see a therapist, and she's like, oh, you're already doing this, so you don't need me. So that kind of had my stigma around therapists. So when I was diagnosed in 2020 with PTSD, I decided to take control of it again. I decided, like, no, I'm going to do it not the proper way, but I'm going to, like, really find that person who knows how to work with trauma, who is that trauma-informed training. And I also use my background in recreation and leisure. So I, even though I study community recreation, it's still the, like, all these other activities. So I was living with my parents when I first got diagnosed because I just moved back to Ottawa. And I had to be in the my own space to start doing a lot of the healing. So I ended up on a wait list for a therapist because they all have wait lists now, unfortunately, most of them. And so while I was waiting for her, I started exploring like rec and leisure activities again. So starting to explore like getting back outside, getting into different crafts and hobbies. And, you know, I'm trying to think what else I did. That was 2 years ago. And I just continued that path with the rec and leisure. I did start seeing my therapist in, I think it was June of that year. And a lot of people go through like a bunch of therapists, a lot of discovery calls with them to see if you're a great fit or anything. I was lucked in. This is my second therapist ever. She's really great. Like, I swear, if we weren't patient therapists, we would have been friends. Like, that's how well we get along. And so she's been really great. We dive into my traumas when I want to dive into them. And it's, I'm not being forced to talk about them. I like shared with her the other week, I was triggered with flashbacks earlier this month. And so she's like, okay, can we dive into it a little bit? So we dove into it. And then when I wasn't comfortable anymore, I just shut the door. And that's someone I was looking for in therapy. Like, I didn't want someone to keep telling me, like, you need to talk about it. Just keep talking about it. And I was like, no, I need to talk about this when I'm ready. Because if I'm bringing up a piece of my past, and if I'm not ready to deal with it, or I've dealt with it in a certain way, it will literally make me physically sick if it comes up again. So it's been great. I've also touched on inner child healing on my own, which is through my rec and leisure. So picking up wood burning, picking up watercolor. I was no artist growing up. Like, I remember grade 7 art class, and like my mom still has some of my art from high school. I could just go in my room and pull out some of the stuff. And that's who I'm connecting with through my art. Like, when I'm outside and going for hikes and when my fiance is home, we'll try and get outside as much as we can. I'm connecting with a little girl in me. And sometimes you won't know that age, and sometimes you will. Like, I played sports growing up. I was soccer. So, like, I can't play that anymore because of all these injuries. I'm, like, I'm broken, basically. Like, I could never go back to being goalie. But I found ways to, over the years, to still connect with that inner child was through coaching. So looking back at it now, like, I can still connect with her in these other ways. So it's just been that type of healing. And another part of my healing was taking the trauma recovery coaching certification. It was about 6 months long. Started it last year, completed it in February. And through that, like, we were doing our own work at the same time, going through everything. So we've had to do some, we had homework, literally. And I'll be asked questions and about my past and everything. And if I was triggered, I write that on my homework. And if there was no right or wrong answers. And my coach mentor was incredibly amazing. She's like, I'm sorry you were triggered. And just made me feel like my feelings were valid, which really helped. So a lot of my healing came through that. It came through therapy. And it's come through just really connecting with my inner child. And I'm all over the place. That's my brain.
I'm happy you brought that all up. Because when you were talking about the rec and leisure at the beginning, I immediately thought of like your inner child and how just like doing things we love actually impacts us in so many more ways than just like sitting there doing that art piece, because you're actually like treating a part of yourself that you may have been like neglecting for some time. Because even just like going through your everyday life, you're not really honoring that side of yourself because you have to get all these things done. You have to go to work, you have to go to school, whatever you're doing. So like taking time out of your day, I kind of like call that like the soul part, because like your mind, body, soul, like you need to do something that makes you feel good, that you love, that you enjoy. So I love that you like kind of tried all those things. And I feel like I've been talking about EMDR in like all my last episodes, but have you heard of that therapy technique?
I have heard of it.
Okay.
I've never done it.
Okay. A few of my past guests have brought it up, and it's like trauma specific, and it's something like I'm doing more like academic research on right now too. Mm-hmm. And it is so fascinating. So while you were talking, I was just like, I need to ask her if she's done it. But yeah, it is super, super interesting, especially for trauma patients, because it kind of allows you to relive the trauma in your own terms and also like create your own narrative around what happened. So it is a really interesting thing, especially in like your trauma recovery, if you wanted to look into that. And it's something I want to try personally because I haven't either. But I think there's a lot out there and there's a lot of new techniques and therapies always like kind of coming about. So there's a lot of like hesitancy around CBT sometimes because people don't always want to talk about what they're going through. Like sometimes you just want to go through other activities or strategies and not talk about it because that is triggering and it does bring up these feelings that you don't want to relive. So I don't know, have you tried any like DBT or any other skills in that sense?
I had workbooks to go through when I first diagnosed with depression. Like, I'm pretty sure they're still sitting in my parents' place. I don't know, because I'm kind of that person who I rather, when I'm in therapy, just talk what I need to talk about. Mm-hmm. Like, I've definitely heard of those different types of therapies. We talked a bit about them in the course, too, and it's just, I think it comes down to the individual. Like, because a lot of people think when it comes to trauma recovery, therapy, you have to do these type of, you know, CBT, EMDR, like, that's what's going to help you. In reality, it's not going to help everyone. Everyone's recovery is and healing journey is so different. And what works for me may not work for you, you know? Mm-hmm. So there's still, like, a lot of, I don't want to say stigma, but, like, it could be stigma, but, like, you have to work with a therapist to go through your trauma. You have to work on it. And it's like, well, therapists are great. They can work on the deep diving and the inner work. Like, some inner work, but it's also like, well, what about the recovery aspect? What about my goals to help me keep moving forward? So, like, there's a lot of, like, new and emerging, like, strategies and all that. So, like, yes, therapist is always out coming out and training new things. And what I love about the program I went through is developed by an actual therapist who saw something missing in the field. So we're pioneering this whole new field in trauma recovery. And we're not saying pick us over therapists. It's more of, you're also in therapy. We work really well with this too. Because we're not therapists. We don't diagnose. We don't prescribe, which I'm okay with. I know that can get pretty stressful for some of those doctors too, and psychologists and psychiatrists. But we're like, all our sessions are client-led. It's all like, what do you want to accomplish in recovery? What goals you're doing? And so that's how, like, I bridge the inner child work and healing and recreation into what I'm doing. So, like, if I have a client and I feel like therapy would benefit them at a certain point because they're keep getting triggered or keep going through, like, you know, the past, I would say, okay, let's go back to your therapist. Or, hey, let's find a therapist who would help you with what you're going through. Because they may benefit from a type of therapy like that, and some don't. I think I've been scared to try, like, EMDR or stuff like that.
It is scary.
I'm just, like, I think it's because, as I said, like, I've closed those doors, and if I reopen them, I actually get physically sick, and I think it's just because I've dealt with them in certain ways. I don't want to deal with them again, but your traumas are here for your life. Like, you can go, it's a cycle. Like, there's 6 stages we learned, and you can be in one stage for another and then be in denial for one of your past traumas. So it's quite interesting. I might do research again on those type of therapies. Like, I can't remember which one she did, my therapist does. It's not EMDR. There's a different one.
I also just finished reading The Body Keeps the Score. Not sure if you've read that.
Yes, it was a requirement in our course.
Yes.
I loved it.
It is so fascinating. I think it's just such a unique approach to trauma because, like, a lot of what he said was just that, like, the way that PTSD is actually, like, defined in the DSM and the way that we actually, like, diagnose these things is not accurate. And there are so many, like, subcategories to PTSD and to trauma because different things, like when a child experiences something, when an adult experiences some form of trauma, is completely different than, like, your typical war victim that is the only person who's supposed to experience PTSD. And I just think, like, there are so many different therapies for those different types of trauma. And I think, like, by defining your diagnoses, like, a little bit more specific to your client will really help to, like, let those new strategies and techniques evolve in a way to actually benefit those people. So it's a really interesting topic, and there's so much to it. I loved that book. Definitely triggering at times, but very informative.
Exactly. It is. Like, I bookmarked it, I highlighted in it, because I want to go back to it, but it's also, like, if you, whoever's listening, if you haven't read it, like, I recommend the book, but you need to be in a space that you're going to be capable to read it and able to process what you're going to be taking in, because it can, as you said, triggering. It can be very heavy at times, but it's so true. Our body will literally keep the score. And I've been learning through my healing process too, is to listen to my body more, especially with my endometriosis. Like, I say my body is literally killing me. That's what it feels like. And, like, I've been learning to, like, okay, I'm not going to do my workout today. And I have to work on the mindset of that. And then, like, okay, I can't do this today. So it's a really great awareness of your body even more, that book. Like, I want to reread it.
Yeah, it's great. So I wanted to ask too, like, was there a specific point in time that you actually decided to, like, use what happened to you as a way to help and inspire others? Because I know you kind of went from, like, I think everybody goes through this, like, kind of feeling down about what you're going through, the world's against me, blah, blah, blah. But then, like, in order to actually take this trauma recovery coach course and start to help others, like, was it something that happened? Was it kind of something that happened over time?
So when I graduated university in 2014, I just completed an internship at a military base in Ontario. And I just knew at that point, after, like, coming off my antidepressants at that time, going into remission with my depression, that I knew I always wanted to do something in mental health, but I didn't know what. And I've tried to share my story in the past. I actually got silenced from sharing my story. And then last year, in 2020 as well, I just, like, you know what? My story is meant to be shared. There's so much toxic positivity out there. There's so much, you know, oh, this is a negative, so you have to make it a positive. Or there's so much of, like, this is mental health, this is mental health. But it's like, where's the bad and the ugly? Mm-hmm. So I decided, like, I'm going to share the good, the bad, and the ugly. I'm going to show when days are absolutely, like, horrible for me. I'm going to share the reality of healing and reality of trauma, because there are those myths, like, you know, veterans are the only ones who get PTSD, or, you know, trauma only happens directly after a traumatic event. No, it can take years, like mine did. So I don't know, I think that's always been who I was. Like, my story was meant to be shared. And I just did it on my social media platform. I went with what I'm comfortable sharing. It's not my whole story, because there's parts of my story I'm not ready to talk about, and they never be ready to talk about. And you know what? That's okay. Not everybody needs to share their whole story. Is it helping me heal? Yes and no. I just use it more of, like, I can relate to you. I know what you're going through. And that's what, like, people look for now when they're looking for someone to work with, is who's trauma informed? Who will understand what I'm going through? So as, like, I continue to share my story, it's just the feedback has been mind-blowing at times, some of the responses I've been getting. And it just makes me feel like, okay, I am making a difference. I am inspiring someone. I am having people think. Like, the other day I posted about bullying and how that's a form of trauma. And I've had some followers and friends say, like, I never thought of it that way. Now this makes sense. So I'm sharing to bring awareness, but also sharing to be that, hey, I'm your friend, mentor. I know what you're going through.
Yeah, just, like, bringing up those topics is so helpful for other people who might have been, like, questioning if that actually impacted them. And I think bullying is a big one, because unfortunately a lot of people do have, like, experience with that throughout elementary school is a big time, in high school, and just, like, little comments that might have been made to you, which you might have not have, like, considered bullying, but these, like, little comments might have been, like, picked out about maybe your physical appearance or something you said, and it, like, comes back 5 years later and you're like, oh wow, I did not realize how much that actually affected me. And it's just, it's wild to think that, like, these things, like, leave imprints on your body, on your mind, and it's so hard to get rid of them unless you, like, do this healing work and you kind of can understand, like, what place they're coming from and how they've actually impacted you.
Oh, for sure. And, like, bullying has gotten worse over the years, I would say. Just because with technology and with the internet, like, when you and I were, like, in high school, well, when I graduated, Facebook was still newish. Like, I graduated in 09, but, like, as I got older, I started to see how Facebook and social media was really damaging innocent people just because of bullies. And how, like, police and different services had to respond to now, like, how do we respond to this? Because this is new. So now, like, doing this healing now, my bullying and everything, it's going to hopefully help my future children and know, like, you're stronger than the bully. You're stronger than what's going to happen to you. Because we don't ask for this. We don't ask to be bullied. But, like, it just happens. And it's how you grow and how you, I don't want to say handle it, but more how you heal from it. It's going to help define that healing journey. If that makes sense.
Yeah, I definitely have like a love-hate relationship with social media and technology because I think it can be used so positively and it can be a tool that we can use like to connect with others, to make positive changes. But then also it's this place where like a lot of negative things happen and comments are made, people even just like posting a simple reel or TikTok or something. And then you're constantly stressed about like what people are saying about you, what comments are being left, like how people are going to interpret it. And it can be a really scary place too. And even like you said, like police and services, I remember in high school, like so many presentations of these people coming in telling us how to use social media in a positive, healthy way. But it was new for everybody. Like if you think about it, these things are so new still, and there's not enough research. We know like the negative effects, but it's still so new. We don't know how it's going to affect us in years to come because we're the first generation to really experience it. So sure, it's going to be interesting to see like as we grow older, how it affects us as well as like our kids. And even so, I have a brother who's in grade 8, and like even just seeing like I didn't have an email until grade 8, and he's had a phone for a few years. He has social media, and it's like, yes, like you need to grow with the times, but it's just so interesting to see that like the different social space he's grown up in just compared to us in a few years.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like I now look at kids at like 10 years old having phones, and I'm like, cell phones weren't even really a thing back when I was a kid. Like I had my Walkman or whatever it was at that age. I'm aging myself now. You know, like technology is always going to be evolving. There's going to be new apps. There's going to be new social media here and there. There's going to be new like acronyms and everything to get used to for what your kids are talking about. Because going to school for me was always about drugs. You know, say no to drugs. That was like growing up for me. And I think it was after I graduated, they might have brought in more of the social media, because I didn't get an, I don't think we had school emails when I was there. But now, like, it makes me sad thinking what could happen and knowing, like, bullies still exist. But then again, like, usually bullies or people who do what they do, like, you know, the abuse or whatever, they have their own traumas they are not aware of. That's usually what it stems down to. It's not because they're attention seeking or anything. It's because they have stuff internally that they are not aware of or don't know how to deal with. So it's quite interesting now that like I have that awareness of like my past abusers and people who bullied me. It's like, okay, you were going through something yourself and just deflected it onto someone else, sort of thing. It's interesting.
That's a good point too. Yeah. And you don't know, like, this is something I can relate to, just like how language was used at home for them too. Like maybe those little like insulting comments were normal for people. Maybe like that was just the way they talked and they thought it was okay, but you don't really understand the impact that your words have, I think, until we grow up, until we look back and we're like, oh shit, like I probably shouldn't have said that. This probably had a really negative impact on the person. And I think there's always two sides to the story. And just school is like a really tough time for a lot of people because a lot happens both like internally and externally.
Oh, for sure. Like, as I said, like grade 7 was my worst year. And I went to Catholic high school. So high school for me was grade 7 to 12. So I called home sick a lot because I did not want to be there. And I think that was just like the worst year for bullying for me. Like, I don't remember. Like, I remember one incident that happened and I think if I tried to reach out for help then, it might have been different, but I just didn't know how because it wasn't talked about. When you look back, you also look back at how much things have gotten better in schools and everything. Like where I went to university, I remember when I went there, it was second week of school there, I was a transfer student and I was showing signs of depression. And the on-site counselor just said, oh, you're homesick, just go back, you'll be fine in a week or two. When I was showing signs of depression, and took the next semester and get a doctor's appointment to be told, no, you have depression. So even I've like talked with a friend who works there now still, and it's like, nope, it's gotten better. They now have a whole mental health like branch in their student services. Like, yeah, it makes me a little sad that that happened to me, but I'm glad the services have gotten better over the years.
Yeah, it's definitely getting better. And even like a trauma recovery coach, like that's such a specialized thing. And I'm happy it exists because you can like specialize your own practices, your research, and your like strategies to help these people. So I guess like in going through this training, what kind of impact do you actually hope to have in your role as a trauma recovery coach?
Well, one, I can coach worldwide. That's amazing about us. But like, I want to make an impact and change. And especially with recreation and leisure. So I do have a rec therapist on my team who you've actually talked with before, Katie. Yeah, we went to school together, which was great. Nice. So we're able to like bring our ideas and everything together. But it's like making that impact and change for women. So I only work with women just because most of my abusers were men. And because a lot of women feel the guilt to take time for themselves. A lot of times they feel like I can't take it because I gotta do X, Y, Z or this or that. And it's like, no, I'm going to show you that you can take your time, but you can also heal, do healing activities while you're with your kids. And the other thing is, as I said, it's client-led. So my words are this year, impact and change, is I want them to make an impact in their own lives. I want them to be able to make changes for themselves, have a better relationship with themselves. Because once you start to have a better relationship with yourself, you'll have a better relationship with those around you. And one thing trauma survivors like myself struggle with is our self-identity after trauma. So through rec and leisure, we help you find who you are again. We help you find what brings you the joy and the smiles and everything. So we offer like different services, but we actually created a program that's 12 weeks that actually is solely focused on recreation and leisure to help them find these activities that will help them make these healthy leisure choices. Because we talk about the healthy and unhealthy coping skills in trauma recovery. And so like, we want to make sure like, we're going to make these healthy coping skills that, you know, getting out for a walk is going to benefit you. Even if your kids have to tag along, you know, because I'm in the age where there's a lot of women who have kids now. That's the age group I'm in. But like, yeah, and we also try to make it as affordable as we can. Because we know a lot of therapists in therapy here are not covered under insurance. Mm-hmm. Like, I know for myself, my therapist is not covered. But if I had a social worker or therapist, she would have. So they're pretty expensive. So, like, we're trying to make things as affordable, too. I'm trying to build an actual one-stop shop for trauma recovery services and looking at expanding the team into like these different fields, so like we're your circle of care. Because I have to vet out every single service for clients. I just can't be like, hey, so and so. It's like, no, I have to meet with that person, be like, okay, what do you focus on? Because we have to vet out to actual trauma-informed people. Because there's people out there who say they work with trauma, but they're not actually trauma-informed. And the one thing about trauma recovery coaches is we're survivors ourselves. Mm-hmm. A lot of them are trauma survivors because they want to make a difference and help others, because we know what it's like to go through and be beaten down. You know, we have to find the strength in that. We have to find the strength to keep moving forward. And you know, it's just very eye-opening and rewarding at the same time, knowing that I'm going to help individuals, women, make these impact and changes in their lives.
Oh, that's very impactful. And I know you are working with Katie. I love her. She's awesome. And you are offering that 12-week program. But do you want to tell us a little bit more about your business? So it's called Blossoming from Within. And what other like types of trauma recovery services you're actually offering?
Yeah, for sure. So I offer one-on-one trauma recovery coaching, which does have a sliding scale to it. We have the 12-week healing recreated program, which actually was based off of a study from one of Katie's professors in school. I never had a class by her because I didn't take therapeutic rec, but we built it together. So that's a whole 12-week program. Katie offers one-on-one recreation therapy and a 6-week change of flow program. And then we have like two group offerings. One is called Blossoming Together, which is a free peer support group for women. And everything's virtual in our services, because I want to reach people in the smaller communities. I want to reach people in different parts of Canada, North America, you know. So this is a 6-week program. We walk them through a topic each week, and I co-run it with a friend of mine who's an occupational therapist who specializes in mental health. I didn't know that was a thing. Because when you think occupational therapy, you think the bones, right?
Yeah.
And then we also have a private membership community for women, and it's called Healing Hearts. And each month we have a topic that we're going to focus on while also bringing in that inner child healing. And we keep that very affordable too. So we have a monthly and a yearly subscription. Plus you can, like, you're not sure, we have a 7 days for free thing. But like the topics we have in that group are not the same topics from Blossoming Together, because I have some might come over from that program, or some might want to try that program out. It's really great. So March topic is self-sabotage. And it's quite interesting how it actually links back to the inner child and the wounded outer child. So that's the other thing we're offering, is really that community to give them that conversation to start, to feel like they're not going to be judged and be feel heard, and just be like, okay, here are some resources for me. So there's workshops within that community, but then we also just ran a fundraiser workshop for Ukraine. So we're going to start making it a monthly thing where we're going to raise funds for a charity of choice. So it's going to be donation-based, and we're going to have it based around a recreation and leisure activity. But it has like a component to trauma healing at the same time. So this month we did Sunflowers for Hope. So we drew sunflowers, and in each petal, Katie talked about filling it in with a coping skill. So that's what we have right now at Blossoming from Within. And then there, as I said, there's plans to expand the services and bring on other fields as well to make it that one-stop shop. Because a lot of trauma survivors find it overwhelming to keep Googling, to keep going on websites, and then being told, this person's full, or this is out of my budget. This is, you know, because I've been there. I'm in those shoes of like, I can't find the help I need. So I want to create that shop where like we have that therapist on. We have someone who can help you find what's best for you, having the occupational therapist on. You know, health and fitness is a really great thing, part of this journey. Because one thing I learned, I didn't know this about trauma, is when you're working out, you're more focused on your muscles than your brain wandering off into those flashbacks or memories or something. So it's just trying to bring in these different services as well that can help benefit someone in their journey. As I said, ideas don't stop in my head. And then I'm going to be launching a fundraiser. Hopefully it'll be an annual fundraiser in May called Little Packages of Hope. And I'm going to be raising funds to build these little packages that give different tools and resources for women going through victim services here in Ottawa. So I'm always looking at ways to give back to the community, because I know what it's like to struggle financially. I know what it's like to be told, nope, wait lists are full, and not have something there. And to give back, I lived in a small town, so I also know what it's like to not have all the services. So that's why I like to keep expanding and figuring out, what can we do? Who else can we reach? And by keeping it virtual, it's like, it's great. You don't have to travel to us. I can coach you wherever you are. Yeah, I'm excited for this business, because again, it's like a newer field. You don't really hear recreation talked about with trauma healing. and it's something that's like, it's been impactful for my journey, that I know it will help others in their journeys too.
Yeah, that's amazing. I'm so happy you're doing this and kind of like using your experiences in a way to help other people, and kind of like working with Katie and these other people and bringing in these professions that are still very new, not very like well known, but they're so impactful. So it's awesome to see how you're kind of like intertwining them all. And then obviously like giving back to the community and doing these fundraisers just shows like who you are as a person and what kind of impact you hope to have with this business. So that's amazing. And I'm just so happy to like be connecting with people who are using, I always say like their shitty experiences for good. And it is evidence-based as well. Like it's not just you doing these leisure fun activities for fun. I know that's a big like taboo topic, but kind of like going through the training yourself, doing the research, and then bringing in these like real scientific strategies in order to help people through their trauma. And I just think it's amazing. And a lot of people do need these type of services. So definitely keep going. I'm excited to watch you continue to expand it.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm excited. Like, as I said, that I have like one idea that branches off into another idea. And it's just like, it just doesn't stop in my head. It's good. And it's like, as you said, there's these fields that are so new to trauma healing. And trauma healing is like, it's become more popular over the years. Because a lot of time people think, oh, trauma healing is meditation or yoga. That's what people told me to do, was therapy, meditation, or yoga. I'm like, okay, therapy's great for when I want to talk about what I need to talk about. Great therapist I have, but I can't do yoga. Again, I have like really bad injuries and I'm just like, I can't do it. And meditation is actually triggering for me. So I'm also that person of, it doesn't work for everyone. It's great. It's great you guys are offering it. Like, I'll never knock those fields. Mm-hmm. It's more of, it's not for everyone. And that's like what we're trying to bring into Blossoming From Within, is bringing in those other services that be like, oh, I didn't think of this. Or we can be like, hey, I know you've mentioned in the past you really like doing workouts. You used to go to the gym. Here, you can work with this person, or I know someone that could be a good fit for you. And we really want to keep that circle of care going, because then at least we know what's happening to them, what changes, we're able to communicate more. Because I have heard from other coaches that they've had clients, their therapist would tell them, you have to choose between me or your coach. So therapy over coaching. And it's like, no, they can go hand in hand. We say the therapists are the front line. They're the emergency room. They're, you know, they're there for like the deep dive. We're here to help them keep moving forward in their journey. And just like, I'm never going to ask my client to like, I do ask for brief trauma history because I have to follow that from my association. But like, I'm never going to ask you to dive into what happened when you were 9 years old. You know, it's more of like, while we talk, if something does come up, it's client-led, so they brought it there, sort of thing. And times I'll be like, oh, I didn't realize that this was actually going on behind in my mind, that I needed to process this. So it's quite interesting. And as I said, like, we work well with other mental health services. It is also bringing the awareness to them, too, saying like, hey, we're a brand new field, we're emerging, but we can be quite beneficial to your services on top of what your clients are going through. So there's a lot of bridging to still do, a lot of like networking, talking, you know. And that's why we also offer discovery calls, is to see if we're going to be a good fit. If you have questions and everything, learn more. It's very casual. I want you to feel like you're talking to a friend and not like you're talking to someone who's I have this thing where from the movies, the therapists sit there with their pen and paper. You know, like, I want them to feel like they're being heard, that they're being understood. Not that therapists don't understand, but they're the ones who either do have the trauma-informed training or don't.
It's a little more intimidating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially if they don't have the trauma-informed training. It gets very intimidating. And so I don't want them to ever feel intimidated working with us. And it's more of like, come to us. We'll help you. Like, we're putting a fun spin on healing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've learned too, like healing is just so subjective and different things are going to work for different people and different things are going to work for me on different days too. Like sometimes I might want to go paint something. Sometimes I might need to go for a run. Like it's so unique to what you're going through. And I think that also enhances like your connection or your relationship to your own mind and body, because you need to kind of like check in with yourself and know what's going to best suit you that day. And I think that ultimately like helps you grow and increases your self-awareness, because you need to like check in before making the decision to say like, okay, I'm going to go do this for my healing today, or today might need to be a rest day and that's okay. And it's really just like, it's a fun game you can play with yourself and like kind of just check in where you're at and what you need to do.
Exactly. And there's days you're going to be like, I need to call the crisis line, or I need to see my doctor or therapist. And that's okay too. Like your body will tell you each day what it'll need. Like usually I'll have in my day like, okay, today I'm going to do a workout. And then my body just decides to murder me. It's like, okay, so technically today is a rest day.
Yeah.
And I'll just go do something else, whether that be the cat cuddles or I haven't watercolored in a while, but trying to get back into that sort of thing. So like as you grow too, your interests are going to change. You're going to might want to try new things, or you might be like, hey, I really enjoyed this when I was younger. I want to try it again, because you're always growing. You have to grow in order to heal. Mm-hmm. And that's making you into the woman you are today, which is beautiful, because you may live with regrets. You may live with like the hate of what you went through, but it's shaping into who you are meant to be.
I think that's like a perfect way to end this. Such a beautiful way of putting it. But April, this has been amazing. Thank you so much for sharing your story and your experiences with us. I know it's not always an easy thing to talk about, but I really do appreciate it. And I just think what you're doing is amazing. So hopefully you can continue to expand and grow your platform, and I'll be happy to share everything that you're doing, because I think it's awesome and so needed. So thank you so much.
Thank you. And thank you for having me on and speaking with you. You're great to talk with.
Thank you.
As always, huge shout out to April for coming on this podcast and for sharing her experiences. These are not easy things to talk about. So first and foremost, thank you so much to her for being open and vulnerable with her story to help educate and just help other people by showing that these things happen and there is a way to move forward from them. And that's something that she's learning through her own healing journey and through this whole process of becoming a trauma recovery coach. I think she shared a lot of interesting facts that I did not know about trauma, such as the embryo of you in your grandmother's womb or whatever that was, and things like that. So trauma is definitely a growing field. It's something that I think we're learning more and more about, just how childhood experiences themselves really impact us throughout our lives and how they truly influence the person that we become, the way that we speak to others, the way that we feel about ourselves, the way that we interact with the world. And it really is something that impacts everybody in one way or another. So hopefully education continues to increase as more research comes out, as more people are talking about it, will really strengthen our understanding of how we can move forward in a more progressive, sustainable way. If you like this episode, please don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to the show on whatever platform you're listening on. And I will be back next Friday.